Morning, Game Guy fans. Today's Friday, August 28th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're having a wonderful week. Boy, this week, I don't know. I was talking to my wife the other day or yesterday about how much this week just kind of dry. I don't know. It really hasn't drug, but it's probably my least favorite week as far as preseason college football and the Gamecocks and all that. You kind of run out of things to talk about a little bit. Second scrimmage is in the book. They used to have three, so there's a little bit to talk about. Practices used to be open. You could kind of go and see progress. Spurrier usually closed them up by about now, though, and they started kind of batting down the hatches, circling the wagons, and getting ready for the opener. But, so you kind of things are sort of settled or not, but they're just going to be determined during mock game week or this week for the team. Like, they are going through kind of a dress rehearsal. Classes have started. And then it's like, you've got some high school teams have played two games now in South Carolina. By the way, shout out to James Island and Gilbert for big wins last night. Gilbert beat AC Flora 24-14. Flora was the number 10 or 11 team, 10 in the state, according to the Rivals composite rankings, which is a mashup of Max Preps, Massey. It's all algorithm. I don't think AC Flora was that high as far as the media rankings, but still 10th overall in the state in all classifications. And Gilbert goes up there and beats him 24-14. Big win for the Gilbert Indians. So shout out to Gilbert. And then James Island beat South Florence, who's now 0-2. Pretty good. Complete coverage. All the scores are on fourquarterfriday.com. You doesn't need a membership to go find those. And then tonight, complete coverage of high school football in South Carolina, and then Saturday. But I digress. So high schools have started to play. They're kind of easing their way into the season. They keep rescheduling games, but that's okay. NFL preseason, whatever excitement there may have been for that, has waned because they're in the period now, the phase where they're playing a bunch of backups and all that good stuff. Week zero for college, which is changing. They're moving back to not requiring a waiver to play in week zero, so everybody can have two open dates at all times, allegedly. But it usually stinks. It's a little better this year. Week one is not as good. Week zero is a little better, though. You usually have the game in Ireland and then a bunch of duds. This year, you got the game in Ireland, you got NC State, Virginia. I think UNLV, Memphis is a big matchup for the group of six. So, it's a little bit better, but that's not even an appetizer. That's like when you go and order a shrimp cocktail. If I'm going to pay, gosh, I don't know how much it is now. It's probably $1 million, but if I'm going to go pay like, $11.99 for a shrimp cocktail, I want the big shrimp, the big Gulf shrimp, the good size shrimp. I want them to be delicious. Ample cocktail sauce, and all that. That's like this week zero of college football is like getting one with like these little minuscule shrimp, and they may or may not be peeled. And it's just like, what did I do here? Weak cocktail sauce, That's just kind of how I always see it. I really dislike it. I've had a good time on week zero. I watching Florida State, Georgia Tech a couple of years ago was a really good game. That's kind of an appetizer, but this week, a honey-do list to get everything done before the season starts for me. I'll turn it on. But the point is that like right now, it's like everything else has started and you're just waiting and there's not a lot to talk about. It's just like, well, the season needs to start, especially with South Carolina this year, because folks, it's like, whenever something bad happens, or I kind of liken it to the mulligan in golf. You want that mulligan. You want to do it as quickly as possible. That old phrase, get back up on the horse. You want to get back on the horse as soon as possible. And of course, it's impossible with the long off season, but with everything they've done in the off season to try to fix things and have a better team this year, you really want to see it in action. And so it this last week just drags because, you kind of a lot of interest in the first scrimmage. Good amount of interest in the second. That's and then it's like let's go play ball. All the preseason stuff's over. But it's moved quicker this year than last year, I'll be honest, probably because last year's just the excitement and expectations were through the roof, and I know I couldn't wait to get to Atlanta for the you know, it's kind of a different thing. You know, South Carolina actually won. The team will be remembered for one thing with me in a positive manner. That's the first time South Carolina's won a football game in Atlanta in my lifetime. The last win in Atlanta before last year was in 1976, a month and a half before I was born, when they beat Georgia Tech at Grant Field. They haven't played there very often. I have this theory that the Peach Bowl people don't like South Carolina too much. And sometimes if you go look and see, at least back when bowl games were, you know, kind of held the power, if you look and see where the folks at the Peach Bowl committee graduated from, you'd probably understand that. But I don't know how it is now. But, you know, South Carolina, you know, last year, big opener Sunday. Everybody's excited about the first week, that Saturday, watching Clemson, LSU, and Ohio State, Texas. And I know I was. And so it drug. It was like a Christmas. This is a standard group of five opener with Kent State. You know, it's an early kickoff. The forecast is not promising from a heat standpoint in Columbia. It's just like, it's not something you're going to get hyped up for and preview for and you know, dig into the Virginia Tech and all that. We're going to dig into Kent, don't get me wrong, but it's just one of those things where it's like, just get here. Just let's play ball. Let's look and see what this team looks like. On top of that, there was no spring game. And I don't know that spring games are like valuable tools as far as, you know, a showcase and a preview. The spring games, though, that there are new offenses or new defenses or new coaches, those are infinitely more interesting, you know, because you're like, oh, this is a different formation or something like that. And you kind of can see, get a taste of it. Well, you didn't get that this year because of the construction at Williams-Brice. There was no spring game. And so it's going to be the first time, you know, this year is just more kind of about football. I think we all want to sit there and see what Kendall Briles does on offense, see who's playing, see some of the new players. You didn't get that in the spring either. And maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but that's kind of what I'm looking forward to against Kent. I think South Carolina's going to win the game, obviously. But, you know, you want to go out there and look good. I don't know that you want to peak in week one against Kent State. I don't know that you want a flawless game. I don't think there will be, because I think South Carolina will be up enough to play a lot of backups and get them reps and learning experiences and all that good stuff. And there's always a lot to coach on with that. But I am looking forward to the actual football. It's just, you know, I was talking to Phil Mad Dog when we first launched the Big Spur 3.0 in May. And I was like, once the baseball search is over, man, this is going to be a tough, brutal slog of an off season with talking about the team and all that. And really, it hadn't been. We've really, I think, done a good job of finding topics, both on the show, on coffee, on the website, social media, whatever. But I think we're running out of gas a little bit. It's on empty, 20 miles till empty. And you got to get to this gas station, right? Get to the Buc-ee's. So I think I'm ready to get there and start mixing it up and dig into the topics for next week. But there's a topic this week because it's coffee and it's football, right? We talk football and coffee every single morning, or most mornings. Sometimes we don't, but most mornings we talk coffee. Or talk football on coffee. And so, you know, we got something here today to kind of dig into. And it kind of was touched on the show or the morning show too. Mike Morgan was on with us, and he's got a great perspective from around the SEC. And, you know, when he was on, we were talking about the, you know, various quarter, there were like four or five quarterbacks named, starting quarterbacks named, like while we were talking on the air. I believe it was Monday or Tuesday. And so, you know, they started naming him. I don't think there's a whole lot of surprises. You know, Clemson has not named their starting quarterback yet. I would be surprised if it's not People want to call him Vizzini. It's Vizzina. Christopher Vizzina. I'd be surprised if it's not him. So I mean, he's got experience and played Tate Reynolds certainly as a good quarterback. My guess is they use both. Tate Reynolds gets some snaps, but 21-year-old guy, been at Clemson developing, that's sort of their MO. I think competition's good, but I think he'll be. See, they haven't officially announced him yet, but we'll go ahead and pencil him in. But of the 10 Power Four opponents on the schedule, seven of these teams, folks, have starting quarterbacks that are going to be going into their first year as full-time starters. It's not that none of them has started a game. Aaron Filo at Florida, obviously, Georgia Tech, when Haynes King was hurt, had to start. So he's got experience there. Kamario Taylor at Mississippi State started down the stretch. Kenny Minchie, I don't think, started at Notre Dame. KJ Jackson's, I think, started a game or two at Arkansas. Of course, I mentioned Vezina. He started the SMU game for Clemson last year. So there's been guys, Keelon Russell has not started at Alabama, but he's probably the best one of all of them right now. And so it's and of course Fazeon Brandon at Tennessee is a newcomer. So the question is when you look at the schedule and you're talking about South Carolina's advantages possibly in games, you've got a third-year starting quarterback. Yeah, Lenore Sellers has started every game at South Carolina since, he was named the starter in 24, except that Akron game he was out in 24. So this guy started 24 games at South Carolina. It's his third year. That's a little bit rare. Jake Bentley did it. I guess he never really started every game. So Jake came in mid-season in 16. He started all of 17. All of 18 except the one Michael Scarnecchia game, and then in 19 he got hurt against North Carolina. So that was that complete picture. But he was still obviously there was he was the starting quarterback each and every year. So you had some consistency there with a veteran quarterback during the Muschamp era. Connor Shaw, of course, sort of took over midseason in 11, and then 12, and then 13, and 13 was his best year. I thought as a quarterback, he won all the time. But as just, you think about the difference between Connor Shaw, his early appearances in 11 and down the stretch in 11. And then you think about, from a passing standpoint and an execution and just what kind of a weapon he was in 13 compared to 11, there's a lot of progress there, a lot. Steven Garcia, shout out to Steven, fighting the battle against cancer very hard right now and winning. He's a winner. Started some in 08, started the bowl game, started Spurrier. He wouldn't hesitate to change it up. And then, got to 11, and obviously Shaw supplanted him. Blake Mitchell was the opening day starter for three straight years. And Garcia wasn't the opening day starter now in 11. He came off the bench. Shaw started. Against East Carolina, the Gamecocks were struggling. Garcia came back, played really well. Phil Petty, 99 to 01, the late Phil Petty. He was in 99, he was the starter if he was healthy, but there was a big, big middle part of the season he wasn't. You look back, Anthony Wright, 96, 97, he gets hurt. He starts all of 98. That was a three-year starter. Of course, Tannehill picked up in 92 and was never not the starter. Todd Ellis started 4 years, got hurt at the end. The rest of them, Bobby Fuller, guys like that, Spencer Rattler, kind of 2 year guys. And there were some 1 year wonders too. And then there's some years like, 15 when it probably should have been Perry Orth the whole time. But, you had some Lorenzo Nunez's and Connor Mitch's that started in there. And then 21 was kind of a mess with Zeb and Luke Doty, Jason Brown, and then Dakarion Joyner at the end. And that was a good coaching job by Beamer too. A lot of people don't, when you have an issue at quarterback, you can ask anybody. It's an issue. I mean, you can get by if you have a loaded team with, they call them game managers, but a guy that's not a difference maker that you don't have to, You need to defend their offense because he executes it well. You don't have to necessarily worry about this guy individually. Jake Fromm at Georgia, example of that. I don't know the game manager is the right term. Just maybe you call him an executioner. That's a pretty harsh term. But you at least have to have that. If you have issues with guys that just aren't ready, or they're maybe mistake prone, that causes turnovers. They're maybe not super comfortable with the offense. All those things come with experience. Sometimes experience doesn't matter if you have a bad scheme, or you got deficiencies in important spots. But quarterback is one place you absolutely cannot mess around. And the other part of it is you never know. You never know. Yes, Josh Heupel at Tennessee has just plugged and played quarterbacks. Hooker came in for Milton that one year and was one of the best in college football. Nico was not very good, I don't think, as a passer. His stats were because of the system, but they had to run the ball and play defense that year that they went to the playoff. Joey Aguilar, I thought Joey Aguilar coming in was a good quarterback, but he's gone and sued, of course, and lost. And then there's Faizeon Brandon. And yes, he's a talented guy, but he's a true freshman. Now, there's been true freshmen light it up. He's talented enough to do it. Tennessee's got the skill position and the offensive system to do it. But you don't know how many mistakes they have. I'm sorry, you don't know how many mistakes they can live with when it comes to winning because their defense has some questions in the secondary and things like that. All these guys, I mean, some of them are, most of them really are what they call homegrown these days. They were recruited to the school. Vezina recruited to Clemson. KJ Jackson, Arkansas got him out of Mobile, Alabama. Faizeon Brandon signed him out. Tennessee signed him out of Greensboro, North Carolina. Aaron Filo is a transfer portal guy. Kenny Minchie is a transfer portal guy from Notre Dame. Kamario Taylor's from the great state of Mississippi. Mississippi State got him from in-state. And then Keelon Russell, of course, was a homegrown guy again for Bama out of the state of Texas. I don't know if there's any correlation between our portal guys better when you're a first-year, first-time, full-time starter, or whether it's homegrown. It's probably a nice mix because Gunnar Stockton did pretty well at Georgia his first year starting, and then at South Carolina, obviously Lenore Sellers after some early struggles played really well, surprised everybody. But it's interesting to look at. I think there's going to be some feast or famine in this group. I think and I don't know which ones. Obviously Brandon at Tennessee. And Russell at Alabama, specifically in my eyes, have the upside to where we're sitting there going, yeah, they're going to be a problem. I love Kamario Taylor from from Mississippi State as well. That guy could be a problem. And I think he was a problem some last year. Wild card is Jackson from Arkansas. He wasn't all that great throwing the ball and kind of was just out there playing. But again, I think many times we discount kind of the reality of progression in college football. New coaching staff, who knows? Who knows? There's a lot of hype around Minchie because he almost beat out CJ Carr. I think he's a really good player. Haven't watched Notre Dame a lot. Aaron Filo, is that a guy that can get the ball to Florida's playmakers, hand it off to Jaden Ball? How much is play calling going to matter? Can he make all the throws? But my guess is some of these guys, of the seven, some of them you'll sit there and go, and there may even be some situations where there's another starter in there because these guys are struggling. And then some of them are going to be issues, and maybe it's not Taylor or it's not Keelon Russell or it's not Faizeon Brandon. Maybe Minchie lights it up and everybody's talking about him or KJ Jackson's a surprise and lifts the mighty hogs onto his back. That would be a way I could see Arkansas having a better year than what they're projected to because he's got the talent. But I think if you're South Carolina, you're looking at it And if you think about last year, right, and nobody saw Trinidad Chambliss coming. So, but you look at it last year, man, you had to face, Virginia Tech's quarterback at the beginning was a veteran guy you had to prepare for. Then Diego Pavia, okay, you got him. You got Pribula from was the Penn State backup, so he's kind of an Aaron Filo, right? So he's kind of, he was the backup Penn State. He left famously before the playoff. Was at Missouri. They talked about how talented he was. I thought he was good though. So that was a guy, Garrett Nussmeier at LSU. You had to face him. You know, moving on down, John Mateer at Oklahoma. Now he's one of the three that's back. He was a new first year. He wasn't a first year full time starter because he started at Washington State, but he was kind of a big time portal pickup. So you had to face him. Had to face Ty Simpson, who was a first year full time starter last year. So see, homegrown guy from Alabama too. And he just had a fantastic season and I mean, lit it on fire and away he goes to the NFL. So and so you never know. Like with that situation, it worked out well for the Crimson Tide. Ole Miss with Chambliss, that was the ultimate outlier. Marcel Reed is one of the three and the only one because Gunnar Stockton started at the end of 2024 for Georgia, but he, for full-time starter, it was just last year. So he and Lenora Sellers have the most experience when you can compare the Gamecocks with the other teams on their schedule. So Marcel Reed versus Lenora Sellers, part three at Williams-Brice in November. So it's Reed, Stockton, and Mateer, Georgia, Oklahoma, and A&M. All of those games are Halloween or later. That's significant as well. This is one of the reasons people, I believe people would be, looking at the schedule and going, this is kind of favorable because many times you look at Lenora Sellers, you'll have a first-year full-time starting quarterback, and they take some lumps early, or the earlier you play them, the better, and then they kind of figure it out and they're actually really good. So I think this is another little tidbit about the schedule that maybe you're like, oh, it's not as tough as the people that just look at the brand and go, oh, all these teams on the schedule have won national championships. South Carolina hasn't. Ergo, 7-5, 5-7, 7-5. It's just too hard. It's just too hard for them. They got to play all these powerhouses. Well, okay. Powerhouses don't stay consistently powerhouses. You don't know why LSU is paying all this money and trying to get pros to come back? Because they're a powerhouse program, and it's one of the best jobs in the country, I think, still. But team, LSU hadn't been a powerhouse team the last couple of years. They've been quite good. Quite good. They were good enough to beat Bama by a point in Brian Kelly's first year, and then they got to the SEC championship game and were annihilated by Georgia. So, yeah, especially in this league, when you're in a world where Florida and Auburn, who have national championships, who've played for it multiple times this century, are going on like, well, that combined two winning seasons, I think, since 2020, maybe three. I'd have to look at that. So, no, it's not insurmountable. And I think when you look at it, it doesn't, you're going to have to go play and win. All these guys, these quarterbacks, these first year full-time starters could end up being excellent. There's plenty of talent on these teams. There's good coaching. But when you're in the preseason and you kind of look and there's important factors to consider, to look ahead and say, is the schedule favorable or not? I think you got to look at, experience at quarterback and the quarterback situation first and foremost. And it's sort of a mystery in different ways. And I think if you're saying, would you rather have the group of quarterbacks at Carolina to face last year? I forgot to mention Cade Klubnik, Clemson. That's just another one. Or would you rather kind of take your chances on some new guys? Because it didn't really work out all that well with the other guys. I think. I think having guys that are to face South Carolina's defense and Clayton White's very unique scheme for the first time, with everything else you got to worry about and all the other advanced scouting you got to do, and you only got a few days to really hone in and prepare. I'll take that over Diego Pavia and Garrett Nussmeier and all those guys. So, and then on the flip side of it, the Gamecocks have Lenora Sellers. He's in a new system, and there's a school of thought out there that, well, it's a new system. He's going to take his, and there may be some kinks or some misfires, but the new system fits him a lot better. And a lot of folks are saying that. People are starting to catch on to all that. So that's the experience factor. And that's another preseason talking point as to why, as far as the off season, the setup, the camp, recruiting, roster, but everything you have to do in the off season as a head coach in your organization, I think Shane Beamer's done it as best he can. The bottom line is winning. The bottom line is the outcome. These things do not automatically mean outcomes. If they did, you could evaluate this and look at South Carolina and go to Vegas and cash in on futures. But you can't. That's why we love the sport. That's why we're all sitting around ready for it to rock and roll in 2026. Speaking of Vegas, Rafael Esparza, hashtag Ask Rafi. He will be talking to you about who you want to take on Polymarket, the official predictions partner of On3 Sports and Rivals. This weekend with Week Zero, you can ask him a question. I've taken his advice before. It's good. He'll be on the morning show today. John Strickland is in. Matt Anderson is in. Myself and Mad Dog. That gets cranked up at 10. And then we're rocking into full game week mode on thebigspur.com. Four Quarter Friday coming up this morning, live at 9. I want to get you to review and preview again. You're going to review the action last night, and I don't know. I don't know. I hope they don't keep doing this in high school football. And then preview Friday. And then there's some games Saturday too. Northwestern's back in action against Indiana at Bank of America. Big showcase game and all that good stuff. But fourquarterfriday.com, you got all the scores up there. If you join the Big Spur Gamecock Central, take advantage of our $29.95 for the whole year. That includes all the premium Four Quarter Friday stuff. So you get that in addition to On3 and Rivals and all that good stuff. So we encourage everybody to go sign up there for all that. So that's coming up. And then the show with Phil and I and Matt will round it out. And this will be our last, maybe till the open date, our last ITG in its current format, because next week, Inside the Gamecocks, the preview show, another season of that. It launches. Then Phil, the Mad Dog, and I back for another season of the Tailgate Show Saturday morning. It's kind of a fun wrap to the week. Don't forget, too, simultaneously, we've added Four Quarter Friday Saturday recap. So Matt and Rob will be along. They preview the high school games and then they review it. And I've always liked doing that. Like in Saturday mornings, I'll get up, it's Gamecock game day or college football game day. I used to listen to the radio broadcast, 6 hours of programming. And I always enjoyed like the Saturday morning high school recaps. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. It's available on podcast form too, Four Quarter Friday. Lots of interviews, things like that throughout the week. Four Quarter Friday podcast. Please go subscribe to that. I'm asking you to subscribe to a bunch of things today, but I didn't ask you to subscribe and like and share on this channel. I try to avoid that. Anyway, folks, it's been a slogging week as far as topics go, but we got some great stuff in store for you. And I certainly appreciate all of you folks on Ko-fi, my loyal Ko-fi listeners, hanging in there with me this off season. It's been a good one as far as the chatter and the conversation, because this is our, we're going into season mode on Monday here on Ko-fi. All right, folks, I'm out. Have a great weekend and don't forget to holla.